Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. Yesterday's Perek opened with rebuke and ended with repentance. Yirmiyahu rebuked the nation for not having taken to heart the destruction and exile of the northern kingdom, and for persisting in committing the same sins that had led to their punishment. Mishuvah Yisrael, wayward Israel, gave way to Bogeda Yehuda, treacherous Judea. Nevertheless, Hashem called out to them, Banim Shovavim, wayward children, still extending hope that his beloved children would return to their father. The Navi prophesied that ultimately the nation would return, confess their sins, and be reunited with one another and with Hashem in Yerushalayim. Today's Perek opens with the continuation of this prophecy of return. The tone is hopeful, yet conditional, and sadly, quickly turns to despair. Im tashuv Yisrael, ne'um Hashem, elai tashuv, ve'im tasir shikutzecha mipanai, ve'lo tanud. If indeed you return to me, Yisrael, I will welcome your return. If you remove your abominations from before me, you will not wander in exile. And not only will punishment be averted through your sincere tshuva, there will be positive effects as well. V'nishbata chai Hashem be'emet b'mishpatu v'tztaka, v'hitbarchu vo goyim uvo yitalalu. If you swear sincerely by Hashem, in truth, justice, and righteousness, nations will be influenced by your teachings of truth and justice and will be blessed and praised through you. Hashem encourages the people, offering advice as to how to achieve complete and sincere repentance, using an analogy that would have resonated in the ears of Yirmiyahu's listeners, who are primarily farmers. Ki cho amar Elokim li'ish Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, niru lachem nir ve'al tizru'u el kotzim. So says Hashem to the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, to both the individuals and the community, for in order for teshuva to be completely effective, it's not enough for just individuals to change their ways. Society as a whole needs to free itself of evil and create an atmosphere in which Torah can be observed. Niru lachem nir, plow your field well, removing all obstacles. Ve'al tizru'u el kotzim, don't plant among thorns. A metaphor that seems obvious on a literal, physical level is also true spiritually. The Chida explains the message in these words: the people need to remove all traces of false beliefs from within their hearts. For even if seeds of truth are planted, if the thorns of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination, are still present, the seeds will not be able to thrive. So thus, before even repairing their deeds, the people must honestly examine their hearts, excise the Yetzer Hara, and make room for the Yetzer HaTov, the good inclination, in order to avoid divine retribution. For if you do not do this, Teitzei Cha'esh Chabati Uva'ara, Ve'ein Mechabeh Mipnei Roa Ma'alalechem, my wrath will burn like a fire that cannot be extinguished because of your evil deeds. Yirmiyahu, who was envisioning the severity of the destruction, calls out with great urgency to the people. Tell it in Yehuda. Let it be heard in Yerushalayim. Sound the shofar throughout the land. Call to one another to gather and take refuge in fortified cities. Raise a flag over Tzion. Quick, take flight. Don't delay, for great evil is about to come from the north, bringing terrible destruction. Allah arye misubcho. Umashchit goyim nasa. Yatzamim komo lasum arteich l'shama. The lion has already come up from his lair. The destroyer of nations has already departed from his place in order to lay waste to your land, to desolate your cities. Yirmiyahu here compares Nebuchadnezzar to a lion, the king of the beasts, because no one will be able to defeat him. And this is especially demeaning and hard for the people to hear. We're accustomed to thinking of ourselves as the lion. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. And Yirmiyahu now strips the people of this image of superiority and turns them into the prey of Nebuchadnezzar, who has been designated by Hashem as the instrument of Israel's punishment. Al zot chigru sakim, sifdu vehelilu, ki lo shav charon af Hashem imenu. For this reason, don sackcloth, lament and wail, for the anger of Hashem will not be abated. Although within the context, Yirmiyahu is calling upon the people to lament the approach of the Babylonian army, Rashi interprets Yirmiyahu's call as a demand to eulogize Yoshiyahu, who died on the battlefield, killed by the army of Paro Necho, who wanted to pass through the land on his way to battle in Carchemish. And Yoshiyahu's death was a devastating turning point with catastrophic consequences, and Yirmiyahu demands that the people mourn appropriately. The death of Yoshiyahu paved the way for the Churban. As long as he was alive, Hashem held off the destruction in his merit. But now that Yoshiyahu is gone, the king and his officers have lost heart. Yehoahaz, the new king, will rule for only 3 months to be replaced by Yehoiakim, of whom we will hear more as the Sefer progresses, but who was essentially a puppet king who is not going to be able to prevent the Churban. The Kohanim will be devastated. The prophets will be appalled. Rashi explains that all these leaders will be shocked, not understanding how this could have happened, because they were unaware of the deception carried out by the people, who hid their idols from the eyes of Yoshiyahu's inspectors, as we spoke about, and only simulated cooperation with his tshuva campaign while secretly continuing to sin. At this point, Yirmiyahu is unable to endure the vision of destruction that he was experiencing, because when a Navi experiences a vision, to him it seems real. It's as if it's happening in the moment. So he interrupts this vision with a cry, Va'omar, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Va'omar, Aha, Hashem Elokim, Achein, Hashem Yisheta La'am Hazeh, V'lirushalayim, Lemor Shalom Yelachem, V'nog Acherev Ad HaNafesh, Woe, Hashem Elokim, surely you have allowed this nation to be deceived by their false prophets who told them, don't worry, there will be peace, even while the sword threatened their lives. Yirmiyahu is so overcome by the intensity of the punishment that he's envisioned, he bursts forth with a defense of the people. In their gullibility, they were taken in by the promises of the false prophets that peace would prevail, despite all evidence to the contrary, and despite the prophecies of Yirmiyahu and Huldah. Hashem responds to Yirmiyahu, a great and devastating windstorm will destroy the city and carry the people into exile. And Yirmiyahu, who understood that his plea was rejected because of the pernicious sinfulness of the people, continues his mission to apprise them of the urgency to repent for their sins. Pasuk Yudalid, Kabsi Meira'ali Bech Yerushalayim, Lema Antivashei, Ad Matai Talin Bekir Bech Machshavot Onech. Cleanse your heart from evil that you may be saved. How long will your corrupt thoughts abide in you? A voice announces from Dan, the harbinger of bad tidings is heard from the hills of Ephraim. Let the nation be warned. Danger is approaching from a distant land. Their voices are heard in Judea. Like watchmen in the fields, they have surrounded the city, for she has rebelled against me, says Hashem. Your path and your deeds have brought this upon you. The punishment is so bitter it touches your heart. Mishpitzot Zahav explains, based on the Targum, that this is the point of the punishment. Its bitterness finally penetrates the heart of the people who had stubbornly refused to heed all warning and repent. Having refused to return to Hashem before the punishment itself will finally break through the barriers that the evil inclination had planted in their hearts, clearing the way for true repentance. The Navi, again, is overwhelmed with pain over the suffering of his people. Pasuk Yutet, may I, Ochila kirot libi, homeli libi, lo acharish, ki kol shofar shamat nafshi, truak milchama. My innards, and this is like Yirmiyahu, his stomach is in pain. And like when a child says, I have a stomach ache, we sometimes ask them, are you upset about something? Is something bothering you? Is something worrying you? A stomach ache is a symptom of inner distress. And the Navi here is feeling such distress that it's making him physically sick. The walls of my heart tremble. I cannot remain silent, for I've heard the shofar sounding the alarm of war. Shever al shever, disaster following disaster. The whole land has been despoiled. How much longer can I bear to see the flag of war and hear the blaring of the shofar? My nation is foolish. They don't perceive the difference between right and wrong. They don't contemplate the meaning behind events and turn to Hashem to avert catastrophe. Yirmiyahu describes this unbearable vision that he's experiencing in four verses. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Ra'iti et ha'aretz v'hinei tohu vavohu ve'el hashamayim ve'ein oram. I have seen the land void and empty, the light of the heavens extinguished. Ra'iti heharim, v'hine ro'ashim v'chol ha'gva'ot hitkalkalu. I've seen the mountains quaking, all the hills are quivering. Ra'iti, v'hine ein adam. V'chol of hashamayim nadadu. I have not seen a single man remaining. Even the birds of the sky have flown away. Ra'iti, v'hine ha'karmel hamidbar. V'chol arav nitsu mipnei Hashem, mipnei charon apo. I have seen the fertile and productive land of Israel laid waste like the desert, all of its cities destroyed before Hashem because of his intense anger. With the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the land is returned to its state of primordial chaos. The source of spiritual light that illuminated the world is gone, leaving a state of mayhem, darkness, and desolation. And Rashi explains all the natural references allegorically. The mountains represent the Avot, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The hills are the Imahot, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Adam, man, represents Moshe Rabbeinu. The Carmel represents Eliyahu. The sinfulness of the Jewish people is so great that all of the combined merits of these great ancestors who gathered together to pray on behalf of the people do not suffice to prevent the Chorban. And into this image of foreboding, Yirmiyahu injects a glimmer of light. Ki cho amar Hashem, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, 27. Ki cho amar Hashem, Shmama tiyeh kol haaretz, v'chala lo e'eseh. So says Hashem, the land will be desolate, but I shall not completely destroy it. And this promise is in keeping with the promise of the Torah in Vayikra 26:44, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Mem Dalid, Lo me'astim velo ge'altim lechalotam. Even when the people sin and are exiled, I will not completely reject and annihilate them. In the final verses, Yirmiyahu returns to the image of Yisrael as a wanton woman, addressing her mockingly. What will you do now in response to the devastation I have described? Will you wear scarlet, adorn yourselves with gold jewelry, and line your eyes with kohl? The commentators interpret this allegorically, critiquing those who attempt to save themselves by currying the favor of the nations in exile, rather than turning to Hashem. Your efforts are in vain, says the Navi. Your lovers have rejected you and seek your death. For I hear a voice like that of a sick person, the anguish of a woman in labor with her firstborn child. It is the sound of Bat Zion, the daughter of Yerushalayim, gasping and spreading her palms, crying, woe is me! I am exhausted by these murderers. Rav Yosef Breuer explains beautifully that the Navi chose the image of a woman in childbirth specifically because although her pain is intense and seems never-ending, the ultimate result is birth, a new life being brought forth. So too, the Chorban would be incredibly painful, but would allow for the nation to be reborn and for the ultimate Geula to be realized. As we saw earlier, Ki naga ad libech, the punishment will reach your heart, will finally penetrate its depths, bring the nation to tshuva, and ultimate redemption, b'mehira b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you for learning together. L'refuah shleima l'Yonina Sema bat Dafna Hinda, Jennifer ha'yikara shelanu, v'lipetzuei tzahal, achinu ha'yikarim, b'toch sha'ar cholei Yisrael. Nina v'chaim Schenker.